NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit, credit to the people.
Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
Coming up this week on the Course of Life podcast, our front nine is all things PGA Championship. I was at Valhalla last week on the grounds in Louisville, Kentucky. So much to cover, from behind the scenes to interview questions, press conference clips from the best players in the world. We're hearing from Jon Rahm, Ludvig Åberg, Scottie Scheffler, Brooks Koepka, and more this week. We're talking LPGA history that keeps on happening. We've got a featured guest in our buddy Jesse Mueller, who was playing in the field at Valhalla. We tell the club pro story, and Barstool Trent as well too on the show. We're getting in the Boston playoffs update, Caitlin Clark, the NFL schedule, and when we always end with food, I recap the media spread at the PGA. All of it brought to you by our friends at Desert Fox Golf. It is Father's Day gift-giving season, and the DJ10 speaker is out there, and it's the speaker that every dad needs with them on the golf course that goes great with Desert Fox Golf and their phone caddy. I'll even shout out the Swing 8 tumbler, Mike. I was at a pool party last weekend. A lot of people were very intrigued by the look of the tumbler out there that my wife was drinking out of. You don't need to worry about what the drink was. Just know the Swing 8 tumbler got a lot of attention, and it's a great product from our friends at Desert Fox Golf. Promo code Course of Life. Promo code Course of Life to save right now on your Father's Day gifts. Now is the time to get them. Great, affordable golf gifts for the dad or anyone in your life. Again, Desert Fox Golf, promo code Course of Life.
Hello, interwebs, and welcome to Course of Life. We are proud to be presented by our friends at Desert Fox Golf. I'm Michael, he's Alex. And Alex, what a week in Valhalla, Louisville, Kentucky.
Amazing.
Just a gorgeous course, as we know. You don't think of Kentucky as being a beautiful part of the country, but we can say
rolling green hills, Mike. Yeah. Unbelievable setting, and not a blade of grass out of place at the course, where I was able to cover the first men's major championship, Mike. Two majors in the last month here for us at the Course of Life covered, and awesome, and a huge thank you goes to the friends first off at the PGA of America for helping us tell this entire story from the Frisco trip to check out their facility in the Club Pro Championship all the way to the major. Just an awesome week. I'm excited to recap it all with you.
Yeah, you were there for the first couple of days. So before we talk about the X factor of Xander Schauffele, of how we can help free Scotty, and of Bryson's not win, let's talk about what you did during the week, because I have to ask the question: how great of an experience is it in terms of the access you get to have those media credentials?
It's huge. And that's why we're so thankful for that, because it allows us to really get up close and tell the stories of the best players in the world and the club pros that are making a difference, not only in the lives of golfers back at their home club, but living out their own dream and playing in a major championship alongside the greatest in the world. So I had access to press conferences. It was an awesome opportunity to fire away. And thanks to the PGA of America team for letting me fire away to the world's best players. So let's get right to the star-studded roster of who I chatted with. And I want to start with a club pro shout out and our buddy JJ Killeen from Lubbock, Texas. We had him on the podcast a year or so ago when I saw him out in New Mexico at the Hyatt Regency Tamayan Twin Warriors. And I had to bring him back up to Ludvig Åberg.
Yeah, last time I played with JJ, he beat me. So that, I think he told everyone in Lubbock that day. But obviously it's a cool tournament. It's my first time here. So First time playing a PGA Championship. It's a special place, and I'm really looking forward to it.
You know, I'd love to hear these big guys be brought back down to earth, like Oberg, and how JJ Killeen just lets everybody know that he's better.
Yeah, that's right.
He's better.
Everyone in Lubbock knows, and now the whole world knows, thanks to me. So I'm glad I could get that little barb in, but Ludvig took it in stride. And yeah, I mean, it's awesome to see what he's done so early in his career. Everyone was kind of giving him all the compliments, so I wanted to throw a little shot his way. And shout out to JJ Killeen, our friend of the show, who we'll definitely connect with down the road soon as well, too. But yeah, that was a great answer from Oberg. Didn't have the week he would have liked, but awesome to connect with him. Next up, let's go to John Rahm, 2023 Masters champion, major champion multiple times over. And I asked him, you know, despite him feeling so young, he's been around for a lot of these PGA championships. So I was curious kind of how his major preparation plays out.
It's more the fact that I still consider myself quite young. So to think that I've already played eight is crazy. I think the preparation changes, obviously, quite a bit, because early on, you don't know quite what to expect. It's brand new. The majors, obviously, are an upscale to any other event you play. So I think in my case, it was controlling how much I wanted to do, right? Like, I wanted to come out here and expend extra hours practicing, extra hours doing this, and maybe even sometimes changing things that you didn't need to change, right? Took me a little bit to realize that maybe the week before I need to get the work done at home, and then this week just enjoy it and feel like I'm prepared to play the tournament. There's also, I believe, a before and after. Once you've won a major, going to the next major, knowing that you maybe don't have the chip on your shoulder of not having one, right? So, but I think in my case, at least, was almost dialing back how much I wanted to do on those weeks.
I think it's fair to say, Alex, that John Rahm is the oldest 29-year-old at the PGA Championship by far.
Yes.
He's just, how many PGA Championships has he been in?
PGA Championships. It feels like he's been in our lexicon forever. The guy hasn't even turned 30 yet.
It's crazy.
He's got a lot of time to go. That was awesome. Cool, really cool catching up with John Rahm there. Next up from the press room at the PGA Championship at Valhalla, Brooks Koepka. He's won this bad boy three times. He didn't quite come through the way he would have liked to, but he had a very interesting friendship that I saw on display on Wednesday morning that I had to ask about.
Saw you got to play practice round with JD today. Crew got to meet Uncle John as well, too, last night. What's that relationship for the two of you like, being past champions here and reuniting?
Yeah, JD's the man. I've always loved being around him. He's gotten close with my dad as well, I think. What was it, Bethpage? Him and my dad hung out for a while. I think my dad even forgot to come out and watch me till it was probably about the back nine. So he probably should have stayed with JD. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been as close. But no, look, he's been great. We text a lot. We have pretty good communication, and it's always fun. Try to play with him at least once. I think played with him at the British last year, and then obviously here, try to get nine holes in with him.
You know, the throwaway line from Brooks there is that he played worse when his dad finally showed up on the back nine. So it sounds like if Brooks wants to win more majors, he needs JD there to keep his dad company so his dad doesn't watch him.
Yeah, I appreciate Brooks for opening up a little bit there and giving us a little bit of glimpse behind the scenes of what it's like. So shout out the Bob Koepka, who a lot of golf podcast fans know about from past interviews that Brooks has done. Interesting to hear that he struck up a friendship with JD, of course, right? That practice round group, Mike, was Brooks Koepka, John Daly driving around in the cart, Akshay Bhatia and Jake Knapp, who won us some money at the Mexico Open earlier this year. So an interesting little ragtag group of guys that were playing in a practice round earlier this week.
Side note, JD could ride in a cart, but his caddy and clubs could not.
Yes, I still didn't figure that rules caveat out there. That was an interesting one. I understand it's because of his condition, which is being, you know, labeled and coined as a disability for JD to use the cart in moments like that. But yeah, Lil John was carrying the clubs when I saw him at the practice round, walking with the rest of the group. One more awesome quote from the press room before we get to a couple more fun guests. Obviously, it came from a guy who was in news all week long, the new dad, Scottie Scheffler.
Hey, Scotty, my wife wanted to insist that I ask about your wife. So how is Air Meredith doing with the last week and specifically celebrating her first Mother's Day as well, too?
Yeah, first Mother's Day was fun. Yeah, first Mother's Day was Sunday and then her birthday was on Monday. So, yeah, it was a fun 5-6 days for us. And she's doing well, recovering nicely. You know, we're very, very fortunate to be in this position with a healthy mom and a healthy baby. And, you know, hopefully that will continue.
You know, Scotty was coming into this feeling pretty good. New dad, that was all put aside. He could
top
focus
of the world,
on
right?
the game. And then Thursday morning happened. He shot 67. He looked pretty good. And then Friday morning happened. And I think we all did 2, 3, 4, 5 takes on the news that he had been arrested, that he was in an orange jumpsuit.
Yes. So from my perspective, you know, I fall around Tiger for 18 holes, amazing experience, video coming to YouTube real soon on that. I leave Thursday night. I get all the quotes and all the interview content I want. And I wake up Friday morning after 12 hours of traveling home from Louisville through Florida and Dallas to Austin. And I wake up to a text from my mom sending me a mugshot of Scottie Scheffler. For a good minute or two, Mike, I thought that my mom was fooled by a fake news story. And I legitimately felt bad for my mom, thinking that she was duped by the internet once again. And oh no, the story was all too real in the strangest way.
I mean, it's just... I'm still just like flabbergasted by it all. that I understand it's dark out. There's an accident. There's police there that aren't normally there that aren't working the event. Maybe he was told one thing by one person and something else by another person as he's trying to get into the venue. But like the supposed of dragging a cop with his car. Just
and of course,
man.
In 2024 fashion. The cop didn't have his body cam on, right?
Yeah,
haven't we heard that line a million times in podcasts beyond this one? But the whole thing was just like an absolute nightmare of a strange story that had people flummoxed. It delayed the tournament. And you actually speculated before you come out. I didn't really think about how kind of the lasting effects of how this may have affected the rest of the week for Scotty beyond what he was able to do on Friday, shockingly.
Well, first of all, I don't know. I saw a tweet or something yesterday that was saying that Louisville really needs promoting their prisoner release program because Scotty went out and then shot a 66.
Record timing on that release. Yeah, he was doing stretches in the jail cell. That'll be the quote of the week from Valhalla. And he went out there and shot a Friday 66. But then we're thinking maybe it get caught up with him a bit on Saturday because he didn't have the four great rounds we were used to seeing from Scotty.
That 73, that break of the 40-something rounds under par, you know, I think he had the perfect storm of everything caught up for him from Friday. The adrenaline wore off. And then also not having Ted Scott on the bag.
He didn't. He had a replacement caddy for that one day.
He had the tour chaplain on the bag with him. And that implosion that he had over those three holes on the front was just like...
Not great.
It was like, what is going on? What is going on? And then he finished it up with a 65 on Sunday. So, I mean, you take out that 73, you put in what, like a 68? So you give him, so what would that be? You give him maybe 5 strokes. He's at 18
right
under
there.
Par. Think about how different this week would have been if he was at 18 under par. And then how we saw at the Masters where he just kind of slowly, he snuck up the top and everyone else just faded away.
It's an interesting
thought. So what would
have
happened?
Yeah. One potential round away from what could be the continuation of dominance for Scottie Scheffler, but he will obviously still be around. We'll be following those proceedings as they go down in the coming days and weeks. But I think the one guy who might have been thankful for the Scottie fiasco was Rory McIlroy, who had a personal life event in the announcement of his divorce, breaking news as I walked the course Tuesday. And I think he ended up dodging a lot of headlines because of the Scottie headlines on Friday in an ironic way.
I completely forgot about that. That was, there's never a good time to file for divorce, but to do it over Mother's Day.
Oh, is true. I didn't even think about it like that. They just had a kid a few years ago too. Ugh, brutal.
Just brutal. And so before anybody asks, I don't know if Mother's Day in the UK is the same or in Europe, or if it's the same or not, but his wife is an American. So
fair enough.
Or was yeah,
that's a brutal
or soon,
timing indeed.
Soon former wife. So, but Rory also, I mean, again, we had a very Rory major out of him. We thought he looked good with a 66 to start, and then he had a 71, 68, and a 67, so he surged at the end. He just couldn't, he couldn't do it. And it's just like, again, is he ever going to win another major? But now he's also out of number two in the world.
Interesting. Yeah, and then so, he's 10 years removed. That was Valhalla. 2014 was the last Rory major, and he did not repeat that glory. There was, like you said, there that's the framework for all the drama heading into the week. And fortunately, the tournament lived up very nicely with the leaderboard we got throughout the weekend, where a lot of interesting names and heavy hitters were at the top trying to get the win on Sunday.
That's right. We had Bryson just beefing his way through.
Absolute bombs from Bryce and Mike. Just, you know, I was having too much tequila and I overserved myself. I found myself rooting for Bryson down the stretch. I was digging the vibe. He was hitting it absolute a country mile off the tee. So I was feeling it on a Sunday for sure with the margaritas, but enjoyed the CBS coverage. And then, yeah, the drama was there from Morikawa knocking at the door. To you know, all sorts of guys that threw themselves in contention within two or three down the stretch, and Victor Hovland's chance at a major, it surely wasn't devoid of big names at the top.
Yeah, I mean, this was a loaded leaderboard and a very low leaderboard.
Yep.
Xander Schauffele capturing his first major, his first win in almost 2 years. He gets to compliment his gold medal now with a PGA championship. Xander played lights out, 65. He, of course, tied or he set the record with a 62.
Yep. I watched that one on Thursday morning. And then he came into the press room and the first thing he said was, yeah, it's great. It's also only Thursday. So, yeah. And he just had that relaxed attitude all week, and he let the chips fall where they may. And his clubs are doing the talking right now. You know, he came up short at Wells Fargo, but he's right there. And, you know, he was asked point blank, like, are you playing the best golf of your life right now? And early in the week on Thursday, he said, yeah, I think I am. So for him to say that early in the week and then back it up with his play, very impressive all week long.
Yeah, and it seems like Xander just played calm, cool, collected throughout, and no one else was able to make it happen. Colin Morikawa, really a horrible Sunday. 71, didn't get a birdie until the final hole. Just could not get anything to drop for him. Sahith Theegala, I was really rooting for Sahith.
I was, and too, he, as well.
You know, I think it's that playing in one of the final groups on Sunday at it's a major,
different.
And he just wasn't able to overcome that. He just, things didn't go his way, and it just started to spiral out of control for him. And that was really unfortunate. And Bryson, like you said, Bryson posting a 64. Do you think Bryson should have gone for it on 13?
Yeah, right. I was hoping so. I was loving that hole all week. It was such a cool hole, but it wasn't like the drivable par four we were all making it out to be in the practice rounds. Yeah. It was irons, 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 rescue, iron, rescue, iron, rescue all week long. Finally, Alejandro Tosti gave it a go, and a couple other guys tried on Sunday. Tosti making the lone eagle of the week there by going for it. And I think, yeah, that would have been a great opportunity. That's Bryson's brand. So I was surprised to not see him go for it in the moment.
Bryson on the front nine couldn't take advantage of the drivable par four, couldn't take advantage of the par five. His long game wasn't getting him there, but this is worth noting. And we talked about this briefly over the weekend too. These guys won a PGA championship at 21 under par, a record for a major championship.
Yep.
Bryson was at 20 under par. You had Victor at 18. You had guys at 15, 14, 13. They are demolishing this golf course that's what, 7,700 yards?
It was a strong 75, 76 all week long, yeah.
When are we going to roll back the golf ball?
I mean, it does. I hate that, but I agree with why that comes up right now. That is the right thing to bring up right now. It makes you understand why that is a forefront issue in the game, because the players today are just like, they're just, I can't understand it. I can't explain it to you. They're just like way better than you think they're going to be. Like even myself, knowing the course was soft, I was like, all right, it's still a 7,600 yard course. Winner's going to be between 8 and 10 under par. Guys will make birdies. It's not going to be crazy. They went crazy. They're that good. So it was amazing to see how low so many guys went in the field.
Yeah, it's just, we talk about this a lot on major championships. We'd rather see these guys battling for par than just making birdies galore throughout
the
week. 8
to 10 under. That was my sweet spot I was looking for. Yeah. But I don't know. Yeah, it was a little bit of a letdown to have the 21 under champion that fashion, but it's all credit in the world to Xander Schauffele. He's part of that lovely club. Him and Justin Rose, Olympic gold and a major. That's a fun little club to be in.
And,
right there.
And it's always nice to see a guy, you know, even though I'm not a big Xander fan, to see him battle and to make birdie on the final hole.
That's
to
the way
win
to
a major.
It.
That's the way you do it. As you know, as they said during the broadcast, this is what you dream about when you're a kid. This is what you do on the putting green or what you do in your backyard. It's like, this is for the major championship. This is for the win. And for him to
awesome
do that,
moment
you know,
indeed.
Good for him.
From Xander Schauffele. Congrats on the PGA. That was the PGA Tour Pro Perspective. We want to talk a little bit about the Club Pro Perspective as the guests keep rolling here on this week's podcast. It was 21, Mike, the Corebridge Financial team of 21 club professionals, because we got to add one from Michael Block, who qualified on his own, plus the 20 that qualified from Frisco. These are, and I know you love this angle, these are everyday club pros that quite literally work at your local and home courses that you know. They are helping beginners, amateurs learn and get into the game. They are working the pro shop, scheduling member guest tee times, and also trying to live out their dream of playing in a major championship as well.
Yeah, Brandon Shattuck was the low club pro at one under par.
Yeah. So. Braden won the 2023 Club Pro Championship and just barely got into the top 20 in Frisco on the very last putt of the event. So to see him turn that into the unbelievable low club performance was awesome. Jeremy Wells also did play the weekend as well. And we have one more club pro joining the show with us. He's been on the show before, named Jesse Mueller. You may remember he won the 2022 PGA Professional National Championship, and we caught up with him right outside the 10th tee at Valhalla. All right, we're here at Valhalla, 2022 PGA Professional Champion. Once again, back at the PGA Championship, our buddy Jesse Mueller joining the Course of Life. Jesse, how you doing today?
Oh, great. Glad to be here.
Yeah, last time I saw you in Frisco a couple weeks ago, you kind of hobbled your way through the four rounds there. How's the leg? How's the plantar fascia? How's feeling for you right now?
It's okay.
We're managing it.
It's been better, yes, but it'll be good enough to get, play this week.
Yeah. That grind there, four rounds in the breeze in Frisco. What do you think that taught you to maybe prep you for this major championship this week?
Well, I love playing in the wind. So anytime it like the last 2 days, especially were my best 2 days, and it was blowing like 20 miles per hour plus. So I don't know, something that I think less almost because you're out there more being creative and not really thinking about your swing. So I love playing in those type of conditions.
Yeah. How were the nerves for you when I talked to your wife, Jessie, who was on the back? She said it was a little bit different when it was a little touch and go instead of winning by five shots in the PGA Professional Championship. But how did you hold up getting yourself inside that top 20 number to be here where you are?
Yeah, I had to make a 6-footer the second day to make the cut. So it was a little nervy at the end of that. And once I got through that, I felt pretty good. I felt really good the last 2 days. So. And then standing on 15 or 16 tee, how everyone was coming back. I was like, well, if I make a couple of birdies here, I might have a chance to win. And I parred the last three, but it was fun to have a chance. We're kind of struggling the first couple of days.
Yeah, no, it was good to see you be very resilient again. That's how you got to get here and get the job done.
Yeah.
So it's great to see you back at another major. It's your fourth now as well, too. Just like saying that out loud, that you're going to have the opportunity to play in now. It's going to be your fourth major championship. How does that make you feel?
Yeah, and the older I get, the more I appreciate how awesome the majors are. Obviously, when I was at the first one in 2012 at Olympic Club, amazing experience. But then now, just it's a little bit different perspective being here the fourth time, I would say.
Yeah. Definitely. No, you're learning with each year, so it's good to see you gain that experience. Now, in terms of this course, I know you're a big lines off the tee guy.
Mm-hmm.
You love studying the lines off the tee. We talked about the last time we met in New Mexico. So what do the lines off the tee look like here at Valhalla?
Well, it's a really big course, so there's plenty of room. So I like it. There's room to shape, and I like to cut it probably 10 to 15 yards off the tee, so there's room to do that. It's just a long course. So you got to be in the fairway because your approach shots are going to be 175 to 210 coming in. So
continuing on Valhalla specifically, the one notable hole that I saw, the short par 4 13th.
Yes.
Tell everyone a little bit about the Island Green hole and what makes that kind of a significant landmark on this course.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a scenic golf hole. It's not long, but you have to be in the fairway. If you're not in the fairway, the rough is long enough to where you got to hit over that creek, and there's water on the right and the left and long. So you got to be in the fairway off the tee.
Definitely. It's going to be interesting to see how you and the rest of the field plays that. 2013 edition of Valhalla, the PGA Championship will be a fun watch for everyone.
Yes.
So we're in Kentucky. You any experience in Kentucky playing a lot of golf?
I did.
Or?
Last summer, I played in the Barbasol.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah, so this is my second time in Kentucky.
Different
yeah.
part of the state. So yes. we're in Louisville here.
Yep.
So let's do a quick little this or that and Kentucky yeah. stuff here yes. for you. I've heard there's this very famous soda in Kentucky called L81. Mm-hmm. L81. Would you go for like a cream soda type of vibe after a round, or would you be getting the mint julep, the official bourbon cocktail in Kentucky?
Probably the cream soda type. Yeah, okay. yeah.
And then the two big foods that we always see here in Kentucky are the Kentucky fried chicken, yes. but then there's the hot brown sandwich. You ever seen that in your life?
I have
before?
Not.
Open face turkey sandwich, creamy cheese sauce, bacon slices on top. Are you going for that or are you going for the fried chicken?
I think I'm going for the turkey or the chicken special. Yeah, yeah, sounds great.
And then I know you're a GCU guy, so you know mm-hmm. all about great sporting event environments, mm-hmm. rocking the purple as always. Go to a Kentucky basketball game or go to the Kentucky Derby? Which one would you pick?
Probably the Kentucky Derby. It's kind of like a bucket list type thing. Oh, the both would be great, but I think the Derby. Yeah.
Love it. Valhalla, let's talk 19th hole. You know I ask you this every time. The last time you gave me your 19th hole answer was a cold beer and yes. a plate of nachos.
Yes.
What's the 19th hole vibe this week? What do we think we're eating on?
I'm still going cold beer and then probably, I don't even know, maybe chicken wings.
Okay,
and beer.
Cool.
Yeah.
Sauce or rub preference choice there? I just had some maple chipotle last week.
Okay, well, that sounds good. Any sort of dry rub, I think, is my favorite. Yeah. yeah.
Awesome. Jesse, major number four.
Yeah.
It's great seeing you back.
You too.
Here.
You
Thanks
too.
Thanks again for being back on the
you
show.
Got it.
We'll do this all over again next time.
Sounds good. Thank you, sir.
You know, pretty awesome for Jesse to play in four major championships now. A couple Opens, a couple PGAs. That's just, I mean, if you couldn't make it, I don't want to shit on anyone here, but if you couldn't be like a professional on
right,
tour.
Exactly.
Wouldn't you love to be just ingrained in golf by teaching the game and helping run a golf course and all that stuff? And then, hey, every once in a while, I'm going to go play in a major too.
Casually. It's so yeah. casual too. He's the nicest, most unassuming couple, both him and his wife, Jesse. That's right. Jesse's wife is named Jesse. Team Jesse out there all week. It was great seeing them. And a guy working at the local course, taking care of golf course management. And oh, by the way, he's played in four major championships. That's just a sample of some of the awesome stories from the Club Pro side that we saw all week. Look forward to covering that in years to come. One more guest that we wanted to highlight who a lot of people out there will know in the golf content stratosphere, Trent Ryan. You know him as Barstool Trent from the 4Play podcast and Breaking 90 on YouTube. I caught up with him outside the 10th hole at Valhalla.
All right, we're here with Luggage Guy Trent yeah. at the PGA Championship at Valhalla.
Absolutely.
Welcome here. How's the week been so far? You just getting here?
Yeah, it's been really great. We were going to come out yesterday, but the rain kind of put us away, so we came out. We've been walking the course, and it's been great.
Nice. I love it. Everyone's got their eyes and ears on the Breaking 90 series right now.
Yeah.
All right, this summer, what's it going to take to get you over the hump, get you to break 90 this summer on YouTube?
Putting. I think it's going to be putting. I shot a 94 in the last video, and I missed probably 6 5-footers, so if I just hit those, I'm in the 80s. We're moving on to 85, maybe 80. So I think it's going to be the putting. That's going to be the key.
And you guys recounted just a few spots where the short ones were makeable. They're there. I know they are for you,
too. We were so close. So next time, hopefully, I do it. It might take a couple episodes, but we'll see.
Nice, man. Hey, I know you're big in the Bachelor Nation, so I want to get your opinion quickly. We just saw three of the Bachelor, Bachelorette Nation couples go on a trip together.
Yeah.
Charity Dotton, Zach and Katie, and Joey and Kelsey. Give me your thoughts. Which one do you think is built to last the longest here? Who do you like out of those three right there?
You're putting the pressure on me here.
I love
Joey and Kelsey. I think they're great. I mean, I'm just so happy for them. They had such a good season. So I'm really rooting for them. I'm rooting for all the couples, but I think they have a really strong connection, those two.
And I think you and Joey need to get on the golf course. I see him playing a lot on the links recently. So you guys need to set up a tee time pretty soon.
I agree. Him and I have talked in DM back and forth, talking about golfing in New York or wherever we're at. So I think that's going to happen sooner than later.
Love that. Awesome. Hey, Trent, we love wrapping with our 19th hole question on our podcast. So the question's simple. When you get into your favorite clubhouse, what's your go-to meal and drink that you love to have in the 19th hole?
Oh, wow. I love a patty melt. I love a patty melt.
Okay,
that's
right.
One of my favorites.
Not many patty melt answers like that.
Yeah, and then we've actually been drinking this thing recently. It's lemonade and Fireball. and you mix that together called a Dragonade. It's very good. Okay. So that's usually our go-to now.
All right, that's the first Dragonade answer on the podcast.
Fantastic.
Appreciate you joining, Trent.
Of course.
Alex, I know we've had a lot of people say a burger for their 19th hole and what they would go for, but have we ever had a patty melt?
If we have, it's been a long time, and I don't remember who last said it. That's always a great answer. I know you're a sucker for a good patty melt, too.
I mean, look, I grew up getting patty melts at Friendly's.
Yes.
And my favorite thing to get when the 9 months I spent in Texas, my favorite thing to get a Whataburger was a patty melt.
Yes, you're reminding me that exists. It's been too long. I'm going to Whataburger way too much and not getting patty melts. That would disappoint you. Yeah. So I'm going to have to get one of those back on the board soon. Great 19th hole answer there from Trent. And we're looking forward to seeing when that day comes. It's going to happen. He's going to break 90 for us all on YouTube real soon. But really neat to run into him and all of the other players that I got to interact with at Valhalla.
You know, there was other golf going on other than the PGA Championship at Valhalla. I know that's where our attention was, but there was something else happening in Jersey City at Liberty National, the Mizuho Americas Open. And it started, let's start at the beginning of the week with this and not at the end, because like half the field dropped out.
I did see that. Yeah,
it was we had all these injuries and illnesses going on, including Rose Zhang, the defending champion, who just became pro a year ago at this tournament and won, and then won last week as well.
Yeah,
so she was out.
Yeah. That was weird. Something going through the hotel I need to know about in the LPGA? I gotta go watch out there.
I don't know.
Yeah, so the field did get significantly shortened early in the week. I know that. And I love this vibe, too. For anyone who doesn't know, Liberty National is a setting. Quite literally, it's got the Statue of Liberty in the background. And a lot of the tour and the staff, Mike, I think I might do this next year. They stayed on the west side of Manhattan in a hotel, and you could walk to a ferry that took you directly across the river and dropped you off at the clubhouse at Liberty National. How awesome of an entrance is that to a golf tournament?
Crazy.
Yeah.
That's the way to do it. And the other way to do it is like Nelly Korda did and win your sixth tournament in seven starts.
we've done all the adjectives. Like, I'm just going to say absurd again, but it just keeps going. And it's like she finds different ways to win every Sunday. It's unbelievable to watch. This is dominance in history on the LPGA like we have not seen in decades. It's Annika Sorenstam vibes. It's take out your lady golf goats. It's Mount Rushmore's of women's golf vibes. Nelly Korda, six wins, fastest, if not tied for the fastest of six wins, probably of anybody. It's Tiger-like achievements out there on the LPGA Tour for Nelly Korda.
Yeah, it's just unbelievable. She's played eight events this year, six wins. Seven top 10. So only one event in the eight she's played has not been a top 10.
So that's 87.5% on the top 10 percentage and 75% on the win rate. Is that a good win rate for a golfer? That's a pretty good season, right?
I think so. I think that's pretty good. And if you look at, it's just crazy.
She's won.
And what I think is horrible is she still only won just under $3 million. Which compared to the men is like not a lot, which is unfortunate because we should be watching more women's sports. They should be getting better media deals. But she's won almost $3 million. The next person on the money list is Hannah Green at 1.1.
Yep. Yeah. So good. The good news on that front is Nelly takes a week off. You remember I asked her about her off week tanning on the beach. So I'm guessing she's just doing a beach week again. That seems to be a good off week program for her. So beach week, off week, but then thanks to our friends at the USGA who have matched the purse money for the men's and women's US Open. That's a big money US Open coming up in a couple weeks for her. So there's a lot of money on the line there for her to grab another major championship and continue the heater and maybe make it 7 out of 8 wins in 8 starts. Unbelievable stuff from Nelly Korda.
Crazy. Unbelievably crazy. All right, let's take a look ahead to this next weekend because the PGA Tour season rolls on. They're at the Charles Schwab Challenge. They're back in Texas at Colonial.
Yep, good old Fort Worth. Yep.
Scottie Scheffler, he doesn't have to be in court this week. His arraignment was delayed until June, and he's in the field. So what do we think?
Yeah, home game. I think he lives pretty close. So he's a Dallas guy. So I'm guessing Jordan Spieth teeing up as well, too. Wild guess off the top of my head. So all the Dallas guys will be teeing up this week. Colonial's a shot shaper's course, one of the shorter courses in the PGA Tour. Some guys are going to be forced to hit irons off the tee. I know. Absolute craziness. But we'll see a little bit of old school golf. So if you like that, definitely worth tuning into the Colonial this week.
The other one I would watch as well is Colin Morikawa. We know he doesn't have the distance like a lot of the other guys you might see, but that shot making, any if he can bounce back as well, you could. I mean, wouldn't you love to see a Scotty and Colin Morikawa Sunday showdown?
Yes,
that'd be great.
That would be good.
That would be good. There was a lot going on this week other than Valhalla and the Mizuho to watch, just kind of in everything. You know, I was watching more sports this week than I've watched in a long, long time, Alex.
Yeah, let's let you take the floor so much, and tuned in, because I know you were all about the ladies this weekend
I
as
mean,
well, too.
So much sports that my wife said that if this is how much I was to watch all the time, we would have a problem.
Oh my God, her jaw would drop if she spent 24 hours in our household.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. Well, be thankful she's with you then. Tell me a little bit about the agenda. What were you watching this past weekend? Besides the golf, that is.
It was the WNBA start of the season, and Caitlin Clark was on TV like all the time. So
yeah, I mean, and this is like celebrity event too. They had the Liberty game like kind of star studded. There were a lot of athletes out there to watch the New York debut for Caitlin Clark as well.
Yeah. Started the season in Connecticut at the Connecticut Sun.
Yep.
They lost. She did put up 20 points. She had like 10 turnovers. And then the game against Liberty, they lost again. She had like barely any points. And what I will say is that the Indiana Fever.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Just look horrible.
Well, that's why they have the first pick right there.
Yeah. I mean, that's why they have the first pick. They have the defense. They have the reigning Rookie of the Year in Boston. But they were playing the Connecticut Sun, a perennial powerhouse, and playing the New York Liberty, who were in the finals last year. So they have a very tough start to their schedule. It's a young team. And Caitlin Clark has said that she needs some time to get up to speed. And you could see she was struggling to with speed and just to adjust to not maybe having the ball all the time and being the one to do it. But there also is, you know, all that talk that she was still making an impact, even if she wasn't putting the ball in the basket, because she was being shut out. They still needed to defend her and pull to her. So she was still making an impact, just not the way we're used to her seeing.
Yeah, a little bit of a learning curve for her. I can tell you're into it. You tuned in for these debut games. Are you going to ride it out here? I know we've got some early season struggles. So you going to stay tuned into the Caitlin Clark watch here for the rookie season?
I mean, if I can catch some more games on streaming, I don't have cable, so I can't watch it that way. But if we put more games, there was a game on Prime, so I was able to watch it on Prime. We'll
They're
see if games
grabbing.
Pop
all
up
these
on
streaming
CBS.
Services are grabbing an opportunity right now.
It's just I'll watch it if it's there. Why not? And I watched a little bit of the. I don't want to talk too much about it, but watch the last Bruins game.
Yeah, tough. We'll touch on that a little bit later.
We will.
All right. Yeah, I was tuned into an end of an era sitcom, the spinoff Big Bang Theory, Young Sheldon, coming to an end after 5 years on air. And a nice kind of full circle moment where Sheldon Cooper himself, Jim Parsons, and Maya Bialik, Sheldon and Amy, do make an appearance in the very final episode. It's a very emotional finale, but nice full circle moment and a nice way to cap the series. I'll say this. I was never as big of a Young Sheldon fan as I am a Big Bang Theory fan, but I do enjoy that they kind of knew like when it was the right time to go out, and that show had just the right run. They're going to spin it off with Georgie and Mandy soon, but Young Sheldon coming to an end on CBS.
Yeah. Never, you know, I'm a big Big Bang Theory fan.
Yep.
Never watch Young Sheldon.
You know, it's nice in parts. There's some nice fun moments where you actually get some interesting Big Bang Theory, like tea and like kind of like tea leaves and like drops of information that you never really got in the Big Bang Theory series itself. So those were always fun moments to catch. And yeah, Amy and Sheldon bring it full circle for the finale. Finale was a very nice touch indeed.
If you're looking else for something to watch other than Young Sheldon, all the different sports going on or golf, we of course have our YouTube channel. We pitch it every week because we got stuff up there that Alex makes, including maybe by the time you're listening to this, we'll have a little vlog from his time at the PGA Professional Championship.
Yep, we're going to put all those press conference practice round clippings up. And I think I'm going to do a little separate video, just, you know, the Tiger insanity at a major. That was a fun little thing as well, too, that will turn into a video that'll be coming to that YouTube channel so shortly as well.
You know, you're going to make me bring up that someone did comment on a short you posted to our YouTube channel about Tiger.
Like, yes.
The PGA Tour needs another, figurehead.
A new preeminent star.
We need someone different to move the needle other than Tiger. And I'll say exactly what I said to this person is I don't disagree, but at the same time, who's it going to be? Because we haven't seen any of the fans coalesce around anyone.
No, not really.
Rory doesn't move the needle. Scotty doesn't move the needle. There's no one else out there really that's moving the needle.
So this is your interesting test right here, just in terms of what I saw for, like, you know, as they walk off, like, gallery volume, kids screaming, number of autograph requests, people around the 18th green. It's still Tiger by a landslide. Tiger still got every gallery beat by like 3x, if you can imagine that in headcount. The second and third place still, if you can believe it, is still Rory McIlroy. And I'd say third is debatable between Scotty and Jordan Spieth, who does still carry a large crowd with a younger crowd. So, it's going to be something to watch, is who eventually is that person. We may never see that person again. But that Tiger experience at a major championship, although he's become a bit of a ceremonial golfer at this time, still a wild thing to see. And I'm excited to share that with everyone.
It's just crazy. It's crazy. But hey, we're going to take a little break and catch our breath, maybe take a sip of water or something. We come back, we'll talk NBA, NHL playoffs, because they're going on forever. We'll talk about the NHL schedule. The NHL and NFL schedules are out. We'll give early predictions on what we think our favorite teams, the Patriots and Giants, will do. Spoiler, not well. And we'll always end with food, because that's what we do. So we'll be back in just a minute or two here.
Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
Course of Life podcast is brought to you by Zencastr. We've been using Zencastr here since almost the very beginning, as how Alex and I record this podcast from hundreds of miles away. And it provides us with great quality audio that works every time. And it's something that makes Course of Life what it is and has kept us being able to make consistent episodes every week. And now it's super easy to record a podcast with Zencastr. You log in using your browser and start recording a high quality podcast right away. You record studio quality sound and up to 4K video with your guests. You feel a sense of Zen knowing Zencastr's multi-layered backups ensure you always have your recordings in the highest quality, even if the connection is unstable. And have you ever wondered what you actually sound like? Zencastr's post-production process makes you sound buttery smooth. It automatically removes those ums and ahs in your recording. It removes those awkward pauses in conversation too. Set the right podcast loudness and levels while reducing background noise with the click of a button. Head on over to zencastr.com/pricing and use our promo code COURSEOFLIFE to get 30% off your first month of any Zencastr paid plan. We want you to have the same easy experiences we do for all of your podcasting and content needs. Again, that's zencastr.com/pricing and our promo code COURSEOFLIFE. Zencastr, it's time to share your...
Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
Story. back, while you're back, you should take a second and punch that subscribe button on the podcast app you're using right now. Leave us a rating. Now's a great time. You're hearing our voices again after that little ad break. When you subscribe that button, we maybe get even better advertisers that want to hop on and help us out, which means we get better content,
more guests. It's cyclical. Us. We do better stuff. It's beautiful.
It's a circle.
It is.
Yeah. It's a circle. It's all, it all comes back. It's a circle of life. Circle of life. Let's talk NHL playoffs. I don't care anymore. Bruins are gone. I don't care anymore.
It's tradition. Over. Bruins letting everyone down in Boston.
Yep.
You can set your watch to it in mid-May, right? That's the time.
Yeah, pretty much.
Another season with that same core that won a championship 13 years ago, Mike. That's how long we've kept this core of players on the Bruins now. And I think it's safe to say that it's time to maybe move on and go in a different direction to find a little bit more high-end talent. Yeah, the Panthers, 2 years in a row, knocking out the Bruins and ending their NHL playoff run.
I will say that game-winning goal was just so lucky.
Yes, it was. And the goalie Swayman was bashing himself for it. It's like, dude, that's like the weirdest trickling puck goal. It's just like, that was such a stereotypical hockey goal, you know?
Yeah.
Throw a million pucks on net. Eventually one's going to bounce funny and find the back.
Yeah, that's how it works. That's hockey for you.
Yeah.
So they're out. So I don't know. Who are we rooting for now in the NHL? We rooting for, I don't even know who's still in it.
Yeah, no, I think the Panthers Rangers. Game 7, we can't really decide who that winner is right now. Now Rangers are out, Carolina Hurricanes.
Oh, that's right.
Rangers are in the conference final, so they could keep a little MSG buzz going since the Knicks are out. So the Rangers are keeping New York's hype right now. So I could root for that. That's the one New York team I could potentially get behind is a Rangers Cup run.
You're not going to root for the Jets?
No, I'm not. I'm not going to root for the Winnipeg Jets now.
In the NBA, those playoffs roll on. The Celtics on to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yep, playing the Pacers. And again, I've been saying this for months, we're a bully. So if we get out in front, we are going to beat you and we're going to win by a million. But if anyone hits us with a punch first, or we face any adversity, we're in trouble. So the Pacers are a pretty tough team. They battled through some tough series to get where they are. So we'll see how it plays out. The Celtics are still very big favorites, though, to go back to the NBA Finals. We came up short 2 years ago against the Warriors. I'm just going to say it. This is probably the easiest path the Celtics team is going to get to a championship. Hopefully they can take advantage of it.
All right. We'll see what happens. Yep. You never know. You never really know. Do you think, though, if we win against the Pacers, well, first of all, are we going to be playing the Mavs or the Timberwolves? That's a better question.
Yeah, I mean, well, the Timberwolves is intriguing. Anthony Edwards giving off young Michael Jordan vibes right now with this run. But the Mavs, Mike, remember the Mavs now have Kyrie Irving. We had a horrible tenure in Boston with Kyrie Irving on the Celtics. So I would love nothing more to exact one final piece of revenge by knocking him out in the NBA Finals. Either way, it's going to be a great matchup, hopefully.
It will be. It will be. We'll be rooting for the Celtics, and we'll see what happens. And if they lose, we won't care anymore because we're bandwagon fans, let's be honest. Hey, the NFL released their schedule for the new season.
Yep.
And if you look at it, you'll notice that the Chiefs have a lot of games that allow Taylor Swift to be at the games.
Oh, yeah. Well, are they accompanying that relationship with the NFL scheduling this fall? I wouldn't put it past them, honestly.
Wouldn't you? I mean, I would. Yeah, of course. She was huge for the game. Why not?
Yeah, that's a funny thought. Yeah, I would not doubt that at all. I mean, they're America's couple right now. They're basically the NFL, the first couple of the NFL is essentially what they are. So Chiefs schedule's out. Everyone's schedule's out. I took a look at the Pats schedule. Again, coming off of 4-13 with an unproven rookie quarterback that didn't play well in college, it's hard to pick out wins. I will say, I'm maybe cautiously going to say we can get 7 wins, 7-10 this year. That's my first look at the schedule prediction. How you looking on the Giants season this year? You about the same? What?
About the same. I'd say the one maybe good thing going for us is that we don't end the season with like Cowboys and Eagles. We just end with Eagles.
Wow,
we
just end. That always happens.
I know. We're just ending at Eagles. But before that, we host the Colts. We play the Falcons, the Ravens, the Saints. Big like out of conference schedule. Then we just end with the Eagles, which is interesting to see that they're not like stacking the deck like they usually do. That said, will the Giants do better than 6-11? Yeah, they'll do 7-10.
Yeah, we're going to be head-to-head for the mediocrity in the NFL this season. I can feel it coming. We'll check back when we get some mini camp updates here in the next few weeks.
All right, let's hashtag always end with food.
Yep, our food content to end every Course of Life podcast. Always end with food on Instagram. It's time for the 19th hole. And Mike specifically got a report on the media center food spreads at the PGA Championship. Yeah.
I mean, was this a cafeteria food, a better than cafeteria food, or was this five course meals?
This was better. It was in between two and three. Better than cafeteria food. Each day, I commend them for having a breakfast serving, a lunch serving, and then a hearty afternoon snacks serving as well, too. That was very playful. Your typical, you know, American continental with the eggs, bacon, sausage, potatoes, awesome bagels and cream cheese. I know you would appreciate that. There was not lox, but there was a great array of cream cheeses for your bagel. So breakfast was good. I'd give it about a 7. Lunch was a 7.5. Lots of sandwiches and salads and occasional meat and veggies. But the real highlight were those hearty afternoon snacks, Mike. Everything from mini meatballs, buffalo wings, empanadas, a taco bar, just amazing late day snacks. So shout out to the PGA of America for coming through with the goods all week.
Very nice. Very nice.
Indeed.
Love it.
The one thing I didn't get was the ice cream, though. I missed the ice cream fridge.
Oh, my God. Man. Come on.
Yep. I know. I'm so pissed off. I saw it after an Instagram story. I was like, oh, my God, it was right there. I walked by that thing 5 times and didn't get one piece of ice cream.
Look, we all know that food that is given to you for free has no calories. So you can eat whatever you want.
Yep. And I did. I indulged on the cookies, my friend. It was a great week. Again, thanks to our friends at the PGA of America for making it all happen. Subscribe to our YouTube and right here for future podcasts where we'll be showing off a lot more content from Valhalla. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.
About Captain Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast.
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. It's Jean Lafitte.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Captain Crunch.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Head to White Castle for 12 crispy, all-white meat chicken rings for just $3.99. For a limited time, choose from Classic, Hidden Valley Ranch, or our new Smoky Barbecue flavor. And take home 12 chicken rings for just $3.99. White Castle. Follow your Crave. When raising a Pacifico beer with friends you just met turns into hitting up their friend's local art show, getting inspired to create something together, and painting your first mural, you found what was waiting for you. Pacifico. Life's waiting. 21 plus only. Discover responsibly. Pacifico Clara Beer. Imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.